Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday. It's Friday over here, TGIF, on this side of town. I am your host, Lion Zion 4, aka Mr. Lion BKA, Arsenal FC's favorite left back, left defender, left sided Marcelo position. I do it all. I am here with my co host, with the most, Coach Sick, Mr. Sick, the scruffy one himself. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. You know, ready to enjoy this weekend, hopefully. Coming off a nice little victory from last week. So, you know, it's good days. It's good days, you know.
I jumped the gun a bit. I didn't even welcome the show. Welcome to SFG Podcast episode 29, almost at milestone number 30.
Yeah, I know. But it's okay, though. You know, when you're excited, sometimes these little things happen, you know? I get it.
I am excited.
It happens to the best of us.
I'm excited about Arsenal FC, who is unbeaten yet again. What is that, 9 matches now we're unbeaten in? Is that what
it is? Yeah, I believe
total,
so.
Total matches? 8 total matches.
Feels great.
Something like that. We haven't taken any L's around here in a bit. So I can't say I'm mad. I'm pretty happy. So today we're going to get into the... We're gonna do a review of the Leicester City game, which we won 2-0, 2-0 to the Arsenal. Nice, convincing 2-0 win. Then we're gonna get into a bit of questions. We're gonna do a preview of the Watford game coming up on Sunday, which will be the last game before the international break, and probably, I guess, the quarter way into the season mark at that point, about 10 games into the season. And we're gonna talk about a bit of that stuff and. Maybe a bit preview into international break too as well, if you have some time, because I think some call-ups came through too, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
Yep.
All right. So let's get right into it, man. I mean, I'm ready. 2-0 to the Arsenal. Did I call 2-0 or did I say 3? I think I said 2. I think I said 2-0 in the last episode. I've been calling them, man. I've been calling them. Vegas, give me a call, man. Book me. Book me. I've been calling him, man. I don't think I got the goal scorers right. I think I said Lacazette and Lacazette and Saka or something.
I don't know, bro.
I don't remember.
I feel like I'm the one that called this one and you said 3-0, but and we got.
I think I said 2, man. I think I said.
Actually, I want to say we both might have.
We
said
may have.
Same,
we both may have
thing,
said 2-0.
Honestly.
We both may have said 2-0.
We just had
I think
different
I was
goal
say
scorers.
2-1, and I think I was like, you know what? Nah, clean sheet, Aaron Ramsdale. Yep. And lo and behold. Clean sheet by Aaron Ramsdale. But let's get into the lineups first. Let's just talk about the lineups and like I said, great game. Let's go with our lineup first. Unchanged, right? I think it's the same lineup.
Yeah, unchanged.
If it's not broke, no need to fix it. And we didn't need to fix any of the lineups here. So same exact lineup that we played before. Aaron Ramsdale in goal, no surprise. Probably his best game of the season. I think most people would agree. But Tomiyasu on the right, Ben White paired with Gabriel also had a great game today, and Nuno Tavares on the left again making his second consecutive EPL start, right?
Yep.
Then we have Lokonga and Partey in the double pivot, Lacazette in the 10, I guess you could say it again, Emil Smith-Rowe on the left, Saka on the right, Aubameyang up front. You know, at this point, some people are saying it's a 4-4-1-1. I still think it's a 4-2-3-1, but whatever you want to call it, it's working. So, and then Leicester lined up in a 3-4-1-2. They've been playing a back three a good amount of times this season. Kasper Schmeichel in goal. Siakou on the left center back role with Johnny Evans in the center of the center back role, Amarte in the right center back role, and then Castagna on the right with Tielemans paired with Soumare in the double pivot, Thomas on the left, Madison in the 10 role, and Jamie Vardy and Iñacho up front. So when you saw the lineup, were you scared? Were you happy? Like, what were your initial thoughts when the lineup came out?
Are you talking about for Leicester or are you talking about for our team?
Both.
I thought it was a good matchup, honestly. I thought the way we lined up was how I expected us to. And then I expected them to line up the way they expect or the way they lined up. So I, you know, I thought it was going to be a little bit different in terms of like score wise, but hey,
I was a bit surprised that I don't know if he wasn't fit or what, but I was surprised that we didn't see Ndidi instead of Samari. I was surprised that we didn't see Harvey Barnes. I'm surprised they just didn't go. They looked a bit more defensive, but if you're, you know, you're gonna look defensive, you don't have Ndidi, then I'm not too sure what it is. Like, Samari's not bad, don't get me wrong, but
he's new though, so I feel like this is kind of a big game to kind of, you know, throw him in.
And I feel like Ndidi would have broken up a lot of what we were trying to do in the midfield. I feel like we had the midfield from minute number one, which has been a trend the last couple games with Partey and Sambi together. And
but to kind of go off of what you're saying, I just checked. It did look like he just came back from an injury, so maybe that's why we didn't see it. So you're probably right.
It could have been that, right?
He's coming back from
and even Daka looked good too the last couple games. I think he's a good signing as well.
I felt like they did a good job this transfer window, kind of restocking their bench and whatnot, because a lot of these players that are there, they can definitely start.
I see Leicester as their ceiling is like a English Dortmund. Like they're at a point now where they can, in terms of finding these exports from the Premier League, I mean from outside of the Premier League, or these importing them into the Premier League, and then being able to just sell them for double their value. They did that with Mahrez. They've done it with Kante. They've done it, you know. And they've seemed to keep the rest of the players, but you know, Ndidi, when he leaves, I would assume is going to end up playing, making a lot more, you know, the money for Leicester than they paid for him.
Yeah, I can see that.
Daka as well too. I think if he ends up going, even though he just got there, Wesley Fofana, another guy that hasn't featured much this year because he's been injured, but another young French center back that looks amazing. They're a good team, man. They're a good team, man. And I was happy with how we started the game. You know, from the minute number one, I think we almost created a chance with Saka and Lacazette linking up within the first minute of the game. And it's been a trend for us in the first minutes of games to really get on the front foot. And I love that. I love that about us, because historically we haven't been that way. You know, Emery, even Arteta, like when towards the end of, you know, his end of this first year, it used to be we'd take an early goal to like wake up. You know what I mean?
And yeah, I hated now, that.
Yeah, is this? I hated that too. It's the same old Arsenal, and this has been a much different now, because you know, 4 minutes in, we get a corner, and set piece coach added again. Does he get a bonus? I hope he gets a bonus for the amount of goals we score on set pieces, because this is again another great set piece. And I'm breaking it down real quick, and I love how we set up. I love how we have four or five guys in the six causing havoc. There's back screens going on. This looks like an NBA play. You know what I mean? And then we have Gabriel and Ben White at the PK spot darting, and Leicester's kind of half zonal marking, half man marking. They don't know what to do. You know, like they're confused and confuggled right here, because they don't know what's going on. And Saka whips in a ball from the left, from the right corner kick using his left foot, so an in swinging ball. It beats the first two men, and that's what you wanted to do. Any type of corner kick, which is one thing I don't understand with Premier League players sometimes. And listen, I'm not one of those, you know, couch fans that are like, oh, I could do better than that, you know. But like some corner kicks that I've seen, and we've been accused of doing this too on occasion. It just doesn't beat the first man. I just don't get. I understand how you're trying to whip it in with pace. I get it. I understand that. But I would rather see you over hit the corner than under hit it. Because when you under hit it, when you under hit it, you can start a counterattack. It just it puts us right on the counter. And it's not just Arsenal. A lot of professional teams do this where you have guys on set pieces that are just terrible at corners. And it just goes right to the first man. I'm like, how can you not beat the first guy? At least beat the first guy. If you cannot beat the first guy, you shouldn't be taking set pieces. You shouldn't. You shouldn't be taking corner kicks. You shouldn't be taking free kicks. You have to beat the first guy. That's like the number one rule. Beat the first guy. But anyways, rant's over about set pieces. Saka plays a beautiful ball, beats the first man, beats the first couple guys. And to be fair, you know, we talk about Saka or whatever, but Gabriel, man. That's a man's goal. That's a center back's goal
and
right there.
I'm looking at it as well, and I paused it right before the ball got to him. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
How many guys?
Six players around him. There's five in space, and then the one person that's man marking him.
And like
there's
I said, to be
six players right now, and he beats all of them.
And I don't want to almost discredit Saka's pass because the ball is perfect.
It
needs to be.
But like but that goes Gabriel, off of what you're saying, though. Yeah, like you have to beat the first person to have a chance. If you don't, then obviously this right here doesn't happen. Exactly. He beats the first person and boom.
Goal. And Gabriel still has a lot to do, but he makes himself definitely. Big. What I love about Gabriel is, you know, we've been talking a lot about Ben White this season because he's the $50 million signing. We got to Gabriel for how much? 35? 30? What? I mean, 25?
I think it could have been 2025, and he's been
a bit overshadowed in terms of news because of Ben White, but he's quietly having himself a season already.
For me though, I feel like it's a little bit different for him because he was kind of doing this last year, maybe not with the headers and whatnot, but the way he was playing.
No, the headers too. He scored some headers last year. Remember?
Okay, but even so, like the performances that he had last season, I feel like.
And that was his first season.
And that was his first season. I feel like last season he kind of
a bunch of other guys around him.
Exactly, but I feel like he, you know, he got the credit last season, not to discredit him this year and say that he shouldn't be getting the credit again, but. I feel like last year he had, you know, a great year. Obviously, his first 2 to 3 months, he was winning Player of the Month back to back to back. Obviously, he did get a couple injuries, which didn't help. But at the end of the day, I feel like overall last season he played very well, man. Like he was our star center back last year. I feel like, you know, obviously besides David Luiz, that played very well for us. But other than him. Like him and David Luiz, like I feel like he, you know, he put a show on last year and kind of helped us out a lot defensively.
I agree. I think, and last year, remember, he's still learning English. English is actually pretty good. Think about it.
Yeah.
And it's just
a lot. Learned pretty quick too.
It's a lot to come into this and in COVID. So I mean, even this, like for him to make such a second season jump like this,
yeah.
Considering. The first season was such an anomaly and had an asterisk to it because of COVID, him learning a new system. And this is a brand new back line. I'll say it again. I say it every episode. Brand new back line. I think that has also helped him in a way because what that has done now, too, is that partnership with Ben White, having a run of games with Ben White next to you and having a run of games with Tierney and Nuno next to you and having Aaron Ramsdale behind you, all of that stuff works. All of that stuff helps you settle into what you're trying to do. And now the team isn't changing as much as it was changing last year. Remember?
I agree.
And that helps a lot. You need those run of games, especially not having the preseason, especially being a brand new team. So that helps tremendously having someone next to you that you can depend on too as well, because he covers a lot more ground than David Luiz does, right? Ben White. And it just helps. And I think he is starting to now show us that he's ready to make that push. I want to see him in the Brazil squad. Personally, I got high hopes for Gabriel. I want to see him in the World Cup next summer. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, if the stars align, he gets a shot. But if not, you know, it is what it is. I think that's his track, though. I think all four guys on the back line, maybe excluding Nuno, because it'd be tough for him to get in the Portuguese squad, should all be featured in their national team. And that's what I want to see. I want to see all four of those guys. So good goal for him. Puts us up 1-0, 5 minutes into the game. And I'm just thinking, man, this is a great start. You know what I mean? Like, this is the ideal start. Leicester just didn't look after it. They didn't look after it. And the first couple minutes, you can see they were asleep. They didn't really know. They almost looked a bit like, you know, like, this isn't the same Arsenal team that we had the smash and grab victory last year. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it they're kind of looking at us like, all right, we know how they've been playing, but let's just sit back and see what they got to offer. And teams can't do that against us anymore. They can't just wait for us to fuck up ourselves. You know what I'm saying? That's what we do a lot. There's a lot of teams that would just wait for Arsenal to self implode and then just kind of take the victory. That's not happening anymore, because we have a precise way of how we're playing, how we're looking at games now. You know, 15, 16 minutes later, sustained pressure again. Partey took a couple shots, and Saka again with chance creation, right? Gets down the right hand side, plays the ball into Lacazette. Lacazette tries to dribble through, kind of fumbles up, but again, fortune favors the bold, right? That's one of my favorite quotes. And if you're bold enough to get into attack, good things happen. Lacazette tries to dribble three players in the box. Maybe not the best thing to do, but at least it's going at players, which is an issue that we've had when he wasn't in the team. And the ball kind of fumbles up past Amare and falls right on top of the PK spot. And who's sitting there? Emile Smith Rowe. And he bags his third goal of the season, right? I think it's his third or fourth goal. Yep. I think it's third goal of the season.
It's
yeah?
funny. It's funny that we were talking about Smith Rowe having to score some more goals and, you know, getting some more end product. I love it, dog. I love it. Don't stop. You know. I feel like I'm just gonna keep talking my shit about Smith Rowe, so that way, you know, he could keep bagging up the net.
That's great. How about the finish, though? How about the finish? Because the presence of mind, I don't see a lot of finishes where Kasper Schmeichel sat down and he's just looking. I love those finishes. I love it when a goalkeeper can't even make a save. He just has to look, because then you know there's nothing he can do about it. And Smith Rowe, to have the presence of mind, one of the great things about, we talk about how, you know, Smith Rowe running with the ball, how he's so good, and really we don't talk about enough is just his positioning. His runs in general is what we're missing. I haven't seen that since Fabregas, right? Fabregas and a bit of Aaron Ramsey too, where runs were coming from midfield deep into the box. And that's something that we missed a lot, especially when Ramsey left, right? And we saw it a bit when Ramsey was here the last couple of years, because Smith Rowe was getting a lot of burn under Emery in the Europa League, and he was scoring a lot of goals like that, getting into same positions that Ramsey were getting into. And a couple years ago, we saw it. We were like, Smith Rowe has the ability to do this. Let's see if he develops and can be that player for us. And he's already showing that he can do it.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like that's one of his best. One of his best traits.
Yeah, is those runs. To be honest. Yeah, the ability to get into the box, the ability to get himself open, the ability to put himself in goal-scoring opportunities, and that's why he scores goals, you know? That's brilliant from him. I agree. You know, after this point now, this is something that we're not used to, right? And that's being up early in game and big games away from home. That's not something that we've been doing often, and we kind of put our foot off the gas because, like I said, it's experience. These are games that we take experience from, because how do we hold a lead? How do we sustain pressure and keep possession and kill a game in the 25th minute in the Premier League, no less, right?
Yep.
It's difficult. It's difficult, and they started getting some chances, you know, around the 27th minute. I think it's Iheanacho with his left foot, who does have a hell of a left foot. I don't know if was it Ramsdale that made the save or just go wide? I think Ramsdale may have touched it.
I don't think he touched it. I think it honestly hit like the outside of the post.
The post, yeah. Good shot.
But I don't think, because I just looked at it. I feel you. It does look like it took a little deflection, but I feel like it did that off the post. I don't think he got a touch to it.
May not have. I don't think he did either.
I'm going to watch again. He got maybe a slight touch. But
at this point, they were starting to attack, and we were starting to kind of get in our little defensive shell that we did against Spurs and that we did against Villa as well. And then 43rd minute, save of the season happens.
Oh, my gosh.
Aaron Ramsdale. So just to set the premise, set the context, Madison, who is, you could say Madison's one of the best free kick takers in the EPL. You could say that, right? We can
free kick specialist.
You can say he's a dead ball specialist, a free kick specialist of some sorts. And he gets this is his range, right outside the 18, or probably 20 yards out, right at the circle, right at the semicircle of the 18 yard box. And he curls it. It looks like it's going. And to be fair, before we talk about how this is saving the season, because it is, the good thing, and Madison, Ramsdale said it in an interview too at the end of the game. He was a bit afraid that Madison was going to go to his side, go to his own post, and because he has that ability, so he was cheating a tiny bit, right?
Yeah.
And then because the way that it was curling a bit inward, like it wasn't curling outward. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, some free kicks, like the way you take it, it's kind of curling towards the upper 90. His was like kind of starting at the upper 90 and curling down. You see what I'm saying? So it gave Ramsdale like a 1% chance to make the save that he made. And not only does Ramsdale make the save, the way that he extends his arm to almost hit it off of the bar, like almost to say, like, because if had he not hit the bottom of the ball, it still would have went into the net. That's what I think that's kind of what I was saying. Because of the way it's curling, had he just gotten a fingertip on it, you've seen with some goalkeepers where, you know, some free kicks with Messi or Ronaldo where they gotten a fingertip, but you're just unsavable. It's an unsavable ball. And that ball is pretty much like 99% unsavable. Like, the only way to save this free kick is the way Ramsdale saves it. It gets a hand to it, flicks it almost, hits the bottom of the top bar, hits it. Didn't it hit him in the back after too? I think it might have hit him in the back.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
And then on top of that, was that Vardy on the follow? Vardy follows up. It goes on the line. I think it was Johnny Evans follows up. Yeah. He makes the double save because he saves that. Now it's literally on the line, and Partey runs up next to Gabriel and saves it off the line. I mean, this is the best save I've seen in years, and Peter Schmeichel, Kasper Schmeichel's dad, seems to agree. While his son's getting, losing 2-0,
I ain't mad at it.
I'm not either. You being real, hey,
you gotta be though.
Gotta keep it real or realistic. One of the two.
I agree.
So I mean, yeah, save it a season, right?
Yeah, it's up there. It's definitely up there. That's for sure.
Our keeper.
Facts.
And right before halftime too, because that was really important, because them going into 2-1 at half would have been problems, because second half they came out, and I think 10 minutes in the second half, Aaron Ramsdale makes another save on the right-hand side from Lookman. Lookman came in, another good player that they got too. I think he came from the French league as well, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he came from Leipzig.
Was it Leipzig? Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure he came from Leipzig.
Yeah, another baller too. Ramsdale makes another save, and it just, you just knew that it was one of these days. It was just one of these days, and the rest of the game, it just been kind of, more of the same. What I love though too is, Johnny Evans tries to, a little bit of afters on one of the high claims that Ramsdale came into. And all of us go straight up to
Evans. Literally, I was about to say, all of us.
We're not taking no shit. Like, we're not taking that. A couple years ago, maybe it would have been different. I wouldn't have seen Mustafi and these guys do well. Maybe Socrates.
I was gonna say he was the only one that I could say. All right.
Socrates loves a row.
Yeah, he loves definitely.
He loves a fisticuffs. So,
definitely.
So
and he'll bust your legs.
He'll bust your legs too. Yeah, he would. I would have loved to have Socrates back in the day, like prime Socrates, as a third or fourth center back, because I liked his attitude. He just couldn't do what we wanted him to do, because he couldn't touch out the back. And a little bit after that, Harvey Barnes too, when he came on, had another 1v1 that Ramsdale made himself big and saved on. And it just more of the same. I mean, there was a lot of sustained pressure. And to be fair, in the second half, we have to do a bit better at being able to give the defense a rest, right? Sometimes that happens. And I think Lacazette may have came off a bit too early. I think Odegaard didn't do bad to get involved, but it took him a little bit to get into the game. And I think the first couple balls he had, he kind of let go of. And I think that that kind of didn't help. You know, I think that was at a bad time for Lacazette to come off. I think it should have been a couple minutes later, personally. So I think we did a really good job too. I think in the first half specifically was Ramsdale's distribution. We saw that he is elite at doing that. I think in the Premier League, I don't think there's many other goalkeepers that have the range of passing he does outside of the Emersons and Alisson.
To go off of what you said, I remember there was a part in the game where he had the ball and he did like one of those side foot punts straight into, I think it was Lacazette's foot. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was different. That's something. If we see Ederson and Alisson do that, that's on their highlight tape, and we're like, of course, this is why they're the 100%. Best in the world at distribution. I don't see many keepers outside of those two guys that are doing what Ramsdale's doing.
And I'm not even gonna lie to you. I don't think I've ever seen Alisson do that. I've seen Ederson do it.
I've seen Alisson do it once. I don't think at Liverpool. Yeah. But I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it. He's got it in his bag. He's got it in his locker.
I'm gonna search it up because I've never seen. I know it's in his bag.
If not at Liverpool,
me personally, I've never seen it. I'm like, yo, I've only seen Ederson hit a ball like that to where it's like going straight to the person's foot.
Yeah.
I just feel like everything that Alisson has done has always been like on his feet. You know, all the great balls that he's had, he's been pinging them in with his feet.
Yeah.
Never on like a punt. That's why I'm like, yo. When I saw that, I was like, yo, that's wild. Yeah. that's confidence right there. Mm-hmm. Not even going to
lie. No, it is. It's confidence and technique, man. He's got both of them. So, you know, I gotta give him credit for that. So, you know, and even to go back into the distribution around the 65th, 67th minute, he plays that ball that he plays a very direct ball from his own box.
Yep.
Straight to Aubameyang. And how that's not a red card, I don't understand at all. Because that is a straight red card, denying goal scoring opportunity. He's definitely doing that, and then the fact that the ref went to yellow first and didn't even sit the thing
about
it.
I'm pretty sure, didn't he go check the cameras?
He checked the VAR? I don't know if he checked.
I want to say he checked the cameras. That's
100% denied.
Like, how is that not a red card?
I don't get it. Especially considering what Ruben Diaz got his red card for from City and all these other people. It's just
very similar situation.
It's just the same, more of the same. No calls for us. But and we had a couple chances, to be fair. I mean, Aubameyang, another corner kick again for Emile Smith Rowe. This one's going back post now. Great ball. Oh my God. One of the best corner kicks I think Smith Rowe's had all season. Drops right to the back post of Aubameyang, who does well to get it on first time. And Smichael makes a foot save that really kind of keeps them in the game, because that should have been 3-0.
I don't know if Aubameyang could have done any better there.
He could. Like, I feel like that was
really
the best he could do, just put something on it, because you know where it's at. And you know, it is what it is. So, but that's pretty much it. I mean, we go to the rest of the game. There really wasn't any huge amount of chances after that. Game ended 2-0. I think a very good win. Who are you giving your man in the match to?
Damn, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough
one. Can I go Ramsdale? Yeah.
Why not?
That's what I'm thinking.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah. Like, it was an overall great performance, but
I'm 100% going Ramsdale.
the saves that he made was ridiculous. So I think I'm gonna go Ramsdale.
I'm 100% going Ramsdale. It's not even close. I think I think Gabriel would have probably been second for me. I think he had a great game.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he would have been second. Nuno Tavares did very well too. When he during the game too as well. Played 90 minutes. Oh, did he play 90 minutes? Yeah, played 90 minutes.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So that's good for him. I think he's gonna be a beast, man. Wait, he's like 22, right? Or 21, something like that.
Yeah, 21.
21, right?
Just turned 21.
Yo.
Last month,
you know,
or 2 months ago.
When he gets to like 25, 24, and he gets his feet sorted in the Premier League, gets his stamina up, he's going to be a problem.
Yeah,
he's going to be a huge problem. This is a great signing. All right, so let's get into the questions real quick. And try to see if we had a few of those. Appreciate you guys for sending your questions in. We've definitely gotten positive feedback for that. So definitely appreciate you guys for doing that. So first question. Where are first question? We're gonna go with. I don't think
I got it here. Right. Does Watford at home have the makings of a trap game? And that's from Sawadi.
Sawadi, shout out to Sawadi. Yeah, so I think so. I definitely think so. Go ahead. Yeah, you go first.
I was gonna add to that, and it's the same. Sawadi had two questions about the same game, so I'm just gonna put them both together, and then I'll let you answer them.
Okay.
If Tierney is fit, does he make it into the first team, or has Nuno earned another start? So I'll let you just answer both of those at the same time.
Okay. So I definitely think it's the making of a trap game. Watford is the epitome of a trap EPL team right now. They're 3-1-6. They are fighting to stay. You know, they're close to being in the relegation fight. I mean, their points. They're on 10 points, so they're 3 points under the drop zone. But they're just right over Leeds in the last available point before the drop zone, and Burnley. You know, Burnley's at 7. But the thing about them is they score goals. They've scored more goals than we have this season. They're on the same amount. They're on 12. So their goal differential is just -6 because they've taken a lot of goals, but they score goals. And the games that they've won, I mean, they lost a 1-0 to Southampton last week, but they beat Everton 5-2. Then they lose 5-0 to Liverpool. But then, you know, like they've beaten teams over 3 goals or over 2 to 3 goals a couple times this season. So they have firepower. They beat Villa 3-2 this season. So they definitely have the firepower to hurt us if we don't go there and put the game away early. That's what I think the main thing is. And especially playing at home. You wanna be able to do that because they got guys. They have guys that will hurt you. Joshua King will hurt you. Sar is not a bad player too as well, and he's young as well, if I'm not mistaken. He'll hurt you. You know, they got guys. They got guys there on their bench too as well that can come on and do things. So I definitely think we would have to put the game away early. And I think the good thing is their back line isn't great. So I think if we do get after them early, they are a team that does take goals. They've conceded 18 times this season. So I definitely think that if we don't attack and we don't go out there, if we go out there sleeping and we go down early, it definitely would be a rough game. Now, in terms of Nuno, I think he definitely deserves another start. I don't think Tierney's fit anyways, but I definitely do think he deserves another start. I think even if he gets fit, I think it's going to be tough. I think it would be very tough to throw Tierney back in because of how good he's playing right now. So the main question is Liverpool. I think Liverpool coming up is when you ask yourself that, because after international break, if let's say Tierney doesn't go to his national team and he stays and he's fit, do you put him back in for Liverpool, or do you want to put Nuno up against Salah? You know what I'm saying? So that's the main question I think we got to ask ourselves. And I think depending upon how it goes today, this weekend, we'll have an answer for that.
Okay.
What about you?
I agree with the trap part. I do think Tierney will go with his national team because I think that they have some big games for qualifiers. So I don't know if they would want him to miss those just because of the position that they're in. But I agree. I think Nuno should start this game. And then if anything, Tierney comes back in against Liverpool, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's see. Who's the next... what positions we need to sign in January? That is from Ryan Deans.
Shout out to Ryan.
And who should those targets be?
So January, it's a tough question because I don't think we're going to be making any significant signings. I think maybe you start to look at another goalkeeper considering Leno's going to be gone in the summertime. So maybe you get a third one in, you know, if possible. I think, you know, maybe you still look at that Ajax keeper if he's available. I think he's going somewhere else. But, you know, something like that.
I think he's going to, like, Inter or something.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe a bigger team.
So let me ask, though. Mm-hmm. Now that we have a solidified keeper, is it too much to say we officially, like, make – I know he hasn't had, you know, much first-team games, but maybe make Arthur Okonkwo the second-string keeper?
I don't think so. I don't think he's ready. I think you go out and get another one. Because I think you go get another one knowing that Leno's staying here at least till the end of the season. So I think,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think, I honestly don't think we're gonna get another keeper in January.
I don't think so either. But I'm saying if we had to choose,
we need to start thinking.
Yeah, I would rather us think now, and then if we can get him now, it'd probably be easier to get anyone in January than it would be in the summertime when we know we need one and when teams know that we need one because Leno's gonna be gone. You see what I'm saying? So yeah, I think it's a thought, just a thought. Outside of that, though, I think
I'm saying center mid, bro.
I was going to say that, but are there going to be any center mids available in December? I don't. And then on top of that, are you selling Elneny before AFCON, even though he's going to be gone for AFCON?
I say we sell Elneny and maybe even sell I just had a brain fart. Maitland-Niles, and we bring in a center mid on loan.
Possibly.
I know who I want. I want Bruno. So, you know, just sign Bruno on loan.
Bruno's still in Europa League over there, and they're still. I think Leon's still in the title race, if I'm not mistaken.
And dude, just go ahead and just speak your Portuguese to my guy and let him know. Yo, it's here. We got you, my guy. All
right. Actually, they're not even in the title race right now. Leon's,
I was going to say, I don't think they are because they are still in.
They're 11 points off first place.
Yeah. I was going to say, they kind of dropped off a little bit. They had some, injuries.
Second, so, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would be with it, but it's tough, man. It's tough to make really any significant signings this January because the team is so, you don't want to, like, you know, you're basically taking spots away. This is the first time we've been so healthy, you know, knock on wood, going into winter time and without having European football, it's hard too as well. So I just don't see us really doing anything. Maybe another center mid on loan. Considering, and that's only really for AFCON. I see more people leaving than coming in January, for sure.
Me too. 100%.
I definitely, between Eddie and Tekia, between Balogun, I think Eddie will probably stay. Balogun will probably go on loan. I think they'll think about Martinelli, but I don't think that will happen specifically because of AFCON. I think that's what's going to hold Maitland-Niles back too, is AFCON. Because I think in those 3 weeks, he's going to definitely play, if not get a few starts. If Xhaka comes back by then, it could be Xhaka Sambi or Xhaka Maitland-Niles. Or, you know, it could be Sambi Maitland-Niles. I don't think Arteta trusts that. But I just think he has more opportunity with Partey, Elneny, Aubameyang, and Pepe all being out. I think because of that, it's going to be difficult because it's hard to sign someone just for 3 weeks. And it's hard to even loan someone and guarantee them playing time just for 3 weeks. So it's interesting. We'd have to see what happens with injuries too. You know, there could be some injuries before then. You know, that could also cause us to make some emergency signings during January, or maybe even recall some loans. You never know.
Yeah, I was reading something that they were thinking about recalling Miguel, because he wasn't getting much playing time over there.
Aziz.
Yeah,
exactly. Or, you know, there's other guys. There's another center back we have. I think I forgot his name. I think he's Northern Ireland international.
I just read something as well that I think we're gonna offer him a 2-year contract.
Yeah, to because he's at an end of his deal. He could also bring him back.
Damn, I forgot his name.
His name too.
He's playing for Blackpool.
Yeah, he's over Blackpool. Another Halo.
Is it product. No, not Blackpool. Hold on.
Or he was playing at Blackpool.
Blackpool is John Jules.
Blackpool then. Who is it? I know who you're talking about.
He is at.
But regardless of it,
he's at Millwall.
Millwall, okay, gotcha. Regardless, he could also be called back to. I mean, we're pretty much good on center backs right now, but we'll see.
I was very wrong. He is not at Millwall.
He's not Millwall. No. It's okay. We'll
dang, I had
it
a
out.
Brain fart, bro. We'll figure I don't it out. Know. I can't remember what team.
But for the interest of time, let's just say right now that's pretty much where I think we're at in terms of signings, potential signings for January. I do think that. Well, let's move on then. That's who I think the target should be, though. Who we got next? We did Swati. We did.
Was the transfer window as bangless as we thought from Sheldon?
Oh, that's from Sheldon. Shout out to Sheldon, man. Shout out to Trini Sheldon. To be fair, I never thought it was bangless.
I was gonna say, so, I don't know. I never thought it was really.
However, I do know who he's referring that question that question to.
Understandable.
So I'm gonna, and for the interest of the question. I will say that, yes, a lot of people thought this was a very bangless window. Arsenal was criticized heavily for spending the most money out of the top five, right? Even though context is very important to that, considering that United was able to, to get Cristiano Ronaldo for less than we paid for Ben White. However, we all know who's paying more for the player and who's playing less, right? So, things like that. Our reason why it is what it is, but let's compare wage bills then. You know what I mean? If we want to do that, let's compare United's wage bill to our wage bill. Even though we spent all that money in transfer fees, pretty sure our wage bill is a lot less expensive than United's or City's or Chelsea's for that. So look, for the people that really thought that this was a bangless window and that and that for some strange reason, we spent all this money and it didn't. Just look at our record since all of those signings have featured for Arteta, including Nuno Tavares. We have been unbeaten so far. So far, so good. You know what I mean? I think we just need to be able to use this momentum and continue to go forward. But for whoever said that this was a bangless window because we spent all this money and the first 3 games, half our players got COVID and couldn't play. And 3 games after that, we've gone unbeaten. Hey, you come to your own conclusions about that. You know what I mean? I can only lead the horse to the water. I can't make it drink. So, you come to your own conclusions. But what I will say is after the first 3 games, I heard a lot of people talk about how, it's a shame that Arsenal is even close to relegation and all this stuff and us as a club we're going backwards and all of these things, and now we're a lot closer to the top of the table. I see Arsenal's name in familiar territory now, right?
Yep.
And that hadn't happened in the last couple of years under Wenger. That didn't happen under Emery like that, really. I mean, to be fair, Emery had us in the top 4 contention to his first season. But I have, we're at 7. We're 3 points off of 4th place. We're 5 points off of 2nd place.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And to say we're 5 points off of 2nd place, heading into the almost halfway into the season. I like those chances. I like those odds. I like that you can now say we're in the top 4 fight. I think if you look at the table today, we're in a top 4 fight. We're trending upwards. I look at our last 5 matches on the Premier League table, and there's no reds there. I see a lot of green and a lot of draw. I don't see a lot of reds. I see reds around Man United. I see reds around Tottenham. I see X's and reds around all these other guys, but I see a lot of greens around us. So I like our chances. I think that this window has set us up for this very moment. And if we can somehow keep that top 4 race and we can be, if we're 3 points outside of top four going into January, I like that. I like those odds, especially without Champions League football. So, and that's the business end of the tournament. So,
actually, I was actually right. He is on Millwall.
He was Millwall, right?
Yeah, he is on Millwall. And his name is Dan Ballard.
Ah, Dan Ballard. Daniel, yes. Ballard. He's a Northern Irish international.
Yeah,
right?
Yep.
Northern Ireland. I figured.
22.
Yeah. So another Haaland product.
Yeah, I had to look that up. That was that was killing me.
Yep. But so we're gonna put a pin on the rest of the questions for now. Thanks for everybody for sending the questions. Shout out to everybody, Sawadi, Ryan Deans, Sheldon. Shout out to everybody that has put the questions forth. Keep sending them over. And I think what real quick we'll just, I mean, there's not really much to preview with Watford. We've done a bunch of the preview. We talked about the guys, danger guys that they have. Do you think we're going to set up the same way? I think that's the main thing we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I know we were probably discussing to see like if Tierney was going to be back fit, but it's looking like he took part in practice, but I think he did like, I think it was only in certain parts. I don't think he's fully,
fully
in training. But as things stand, I mean, there's no injuries from today's training, I honestly think we start the same way. Yeah, man. You know, I agree. The same 4-4-1-1 or 4-4-2, whatever the heck you want to call it.
4-3-2-1.
Whatever you want. Whatever. I don't know. Like nowadays, I feel like positions are, or like formations are kind of, it depends, you know, it changes as you attack and then it changes again as you defend. But yeah, I mean, my lineup, I think, is going to be pretty much the same. You know, Ramsdale in goal, Nuno out left, Gabriel White pairing at center back, Tomiyasu out right, Saka on the right side, Partey and Sambi in the middle, Smith Rowe out left, and then Lacazette and Aubameyang.
That's exactly what I got written down here. So, also shout out to Courtney in Seattle, who had said the same question about the January transfer window too. So we didn't forget you, bro. We're gonna talk about. So we're gonna leave some of those other questions for international break.
I do have one question though. Mm-hmm. So you know, this will be the last thing we talk about. You know that, you know, Lacazette is leaving. Aubameyang's on his last leg. Who's your ideal striker that you want to buy? Keep it realistic. Try to be as realistic as possible, because, you know, we both want to say Haaland. You know, we both want to say Mbappe. But who's your realistic option that you would like to see come through the door? Who's your realistic option as a striker that you would like to see coming through the door in the summertime?
It's tough, man. I saw that we were linked with what's that guy's name?
Vladovic.
Dusan Vlahovic.
Yeah. I don't know
where he's from. I know he plays for Fiorentina.
He's Serbian.
He looks decent. I mean, I watched a couple of his videos. I'd have to watch some more of him play. He looks decent. I think he's in that Isaac and the other guy. What's the other striker that we were linked with last summer too? Isaac and the other guy. I think
Spain.
Yeah, from Spain.
Yeah, he plays for Sevilla.
I forgot his name too. I think those three guys are kind of in the same range. If you ask me right now, if I, you know, you force me to make a decision.
Yeah, I'm forcing you to make a decision.
I would probably say Calvert-Lewin, DCL. I think that would be. I think only reason why I say that is when I want to keep consistent with the rebuild. Get a young player. And I think him being an English international, his size and strength helps us out, and he does. He can score goals. I wouldn't say that's my first choice, but that's just because I don't have one yet. And if I had a first, ideally I want it to be Martinelli, right? But I just don't know if he's ready yet. Ideally I want it to be Balogun. I don't think he's ready yet either. So I don't think as of right now I have that person to fill in Aubameyang and Lacazette's shoes, because they do so much. And I think that if you had to choose today, I would begrudgingly take Dominic Calvert-Lewin over those guys, I think, personally.
Okay.
If not, Yeah, just the guy from Ajax too. Forgot his name. He's scoring a couple goals. A bigger build.
He came from the EPL though. Last year.
Yeah, he did.
He was at the EPL. Mm-hmm. He was at I forgot the team, but he was in the EPL. He didn't do too well though. But that team was also kind of shaky.
Was it Sheffield?
Nah, it wasn't that shaky, but they were shaky.
But either way, I mean, I'd have to do some more research. Because I haven't thought about that yet. My thoughts is, you know, if we don't get them, if we can give those guys a 1+1, do it.
It was,
you know,
West Ham.
Oh, it was West Ham. Okay. Yeah. Especially because Aubameyang's not gone this summer. It's next summer, right?
Next summer, yeah.
Yeah, so especially.
Next summer, yeah.
I would rather just extend Lacazette for a year, keep him on the same contract. If we can go get the young striker and pay the $100 million, that's fine, and have him sit. It depends. I guess it depends on Champions League too. It depends on a lot of these things. If Champions League, they're probably going to want to stay anyways if we end up making top four. And then you give yourself another year to go get a top striker. You see what I'm saying? Gabriel Jesus, I would say that. If we're really going to go that far, I think he would be a name considering Haaland or Kane is probably going to be in a City jersey next summer. One of those guys are going to leave. So I would say Jesus. I would say we dangle the number 9 in front of him. Say, hey, you can play your natural position. I would 100% take him over Calvert-Lewin or over all those guys. I'd take Gabriel Jesus would be my guy for sure. He'd have to be excess to requirements at City, obviously. But yeah, I would take him.
Okay.
Or take Sterling if Sterling was an option. Take Sterling.
Yeah, you got one option.
Gabriel Jesus.
Thank you.
Samba time. What about you?
Really and truly, man, I'm really liking the guy from Fiorentina. I think he would probably be my first choice.
Good profile.
I think he fits what crafty. we're trying to get our strikers to do.
Good engine. He's comfy on the ball. He looks like what we wanted Giroud to be. Lewin.
Yeah.
Who did you say second was?
Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah. Do you think Halovic is better on the ball than Calvert? I mean, from the little that we've saw of him.
I don't know. I think I would have to see more, honestly, to make that decision.
Yeah. Same. I understand though. I get it.
Sorry.
That's your alarm. That means time to go. That means our pod's getting nearing to the end. That's what that means. But yeah, man, those are two good choices. If you had to choose one though, right now, real quick.
Yeah, I told you.
Oh yeah, you said Calvert-Lewin
or Havlik? No.
Havlik?
Yeah. Okay.
Vlahovic. I think that's how you Vlahovic.
But obviously, because I know there's a lot of teams after him.
Yeah, he's rated like a.
So if he's off the table,
I think Transfer Market has him at $60 million right now. So,
which I'm fine with. That's cheap.
Which means it's probably 80 to 100 because Transfer Market is usually on the low side.
I don't know, bro. I think because I really feel like Calvert would be $60 million.
Oh, right for now. Sure, they're gonna be around the same prices. Definitely,
so I feel like they'll kind of be around the same.
I would kind. Want Richarlison, like the left side of me, you know, you get the good and the bad side of the left side of the shoulders. Like, yeah, Calvert-Lewin, you know, the angel side, like you do what Arteta says, the same type of purse player, and then the right side, the little devil side is like, yo, get toxic Richarlison on our team just cause I like Richarlison, I rate him a lot,
good baller.
But Everton's not let him go. Everton will let Calvert-Lewin go before Richarlison, I feel like, because they probably know they'll get more money, and I think they rate Richarlison a lot too. I think Richarlison's younger than him too. I think they're both pretty young. I think Richarlison's 23.
That might be the same Calvert-Lewin age, honestly.
Calvert-Lewin is how old? 24. Calvert-Lewin is 24. Yeah. Dang, he's young too. Richarlison. Only thing about Calvert-Lewin is that, like, he can kind of get, like, if you starve him of service, it's going to be a problem. You know what I'm saying? That's why I kind of like your choice, because I've seen, like, the clips that I've seen him, Richarlison 24. Out of the clips that I've seen in Halovic, he's definitely looks like he can create stuff on his own. So
yeah.
But real quick, so to get you out of here, score predictions for Watford.
I'm gonna go 4-1.
Damn, 4-1. All right, goal scorers.
Goal scorers. I'm gonna go Aubameyang. I'm gonna go Smith Rowe again. I'm gonna go Ben White, and I'm going to go Saka.
Okay. I'm gonna go 3-0 to the Arsenal. I'm gonna say Ramsdale keeps his clean sheet before he goes off on international. Did he get called up? He got called up, right?
Yeah, he did. Yep.
I think 3-0. I'm gonna say Smith Rowe. Actually, no. I'm gonna say Saka. Sambi gets his first goal, and Ben White gets his first goal off a set piece. Probably. I think we keep a clean sheet.
There we have it.
All right, man. Well, I haven't been wrong yet the last couple weeks. So
all right, let's
hope this stays this way.
Let's keep the train rolling.
But yeah, man, shout out to everybody that's been riding with us, man. We're gonna keep this going. We're definitely gonna get some guests on towards the second half of the season, especially when we start playing some bigger teams too as well. We appreciate you guys for rocking with us. We're gonna try to keep this consistent, try to keep these pods and more frequent pods, so that way we can keep this going throughout the season. This is shaping up to be a special season, I think, man. So I definitely want to keep all of this on wax and keep it generating, keep it going, man. So we love the energy, love the positive feedback and energy from you guys. I really appreciate y'all, man. All love.
Definitely. Yes, sir.
Any last words, sir?
Nah, man. Just thank you guys. You know, not to say too much. Yep. Really appreciate you guys.
And we'll definitely have a pod or two, maybe with a special guest for international break, because I know we got that coming up, and I think that's a 2-week break, and then big game after that, Liverpool. So we'll definitely have a guest on for that too as well.
Definitely.
So nothing else, man. Love and peace.
Peace.